ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi, everyone. It's Rabbi Garfinkel live here in O'Hare Airport on our way to a very special destination. I apologize about the background noise. I hope this is clear because this podcast is very special and really can be life-changing. Well, where are we? I don't know if you hear the Iberian Air stewardesses and stewards behind me speaking Spanish, but I am headed, God willing, on a flight right now to Madrid and then on to Marrakesh, Morocco. Yes, it's going to be amazing. We have 18 Project 613 young professionals, and it is super exciting, in addition to 12 others from Detroit, one from New York, and it is going to be absolutely incredible reconnecting with our slice of Jewish history in Morocco. So much to say. Okay, and then finishing up in Gibraltar, a gem of the Mediterranean with a vibrant Jewish community. It really, we are looking forward to an absolutely incredible trip. Okay, so the Monday Motivation, we try to make very positive, always positive. That's our mojo. That's how we swing. That's how we roll. However, and it will be positive and motivational. But the subject matter of this podcast is one that's very raw. It's very real for me now. It has been an emotional roller coaster last few weeks, in particular this last week. Our beloved rabbi, the rabbi of our synagogue, our main rabbi who we go to ask questions, my wife Suri and I, his name, Rabbi Reuven Gross of blessed memory, unfortunately died on Friday with a bout with cancer. And then so much to say. And then was buried today, Sunday, in the land of Israel. Okay, so stick with me here, folks. This is not going to be a depressing thing. But I want to speak a little bit about who he was. He's a very, very special man, very special rabbi, what his incredible strengths are. And there's something else that I want to share with you that was absolutely incredible. You know, there's a Jewish law that says there's no mourning on Shabbos. You actually cannot show any signs of mourning, of sadness on Shabbos. And so the rabbi died on Friday, but even before, his situation had deteriorated, and the shul president and God bless him, Brett Siegel, very difficult position that he has been in, and others decided that this Shabbos was going to be, even before the rabbi died on Friday, that this Shabbos was going to be something special. We were going to plug in extra music, extra singing. No instruments, of course, but extra singing, extra dancing. This was what was planned. It was a very festive Shabbos. It's a Shabbos of Hanukkah. It's a Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the Jewish month. And so there was a lot of very happy things commingling together with the backdrop of what was going to be with the rabbi. It turns out that Rabbi Gross was nifter. He died on Friday morning, and it sent shockwaves through the Chicago Jewish community and really around the world. Very well-respected rabbi all over. And the question was, what were we going to do? How in the world? The Levaya, the funeral in Chicago, was finished almost at like 2 o'clock, and Shabbos was at 4 o'clock. How are we going to make this great switch? How are we going to, as Rabbi Katz said on Shabbos, change the channel? How do you just turn things on and turn things off? And I think the answer to that question is really one of the great attributes of Rabbi Gross. And I'd like to do some background information and hopefully share what I believe is Rabbi Gross's greatest trait, and to answer this question of how in the world can you go from a funeral to dancing and singing and celebrating Shabbos back to back. And here we go. And what we're going to say is something that's fundamental. These are classes that I teach that are probably some of the most fundamental Jewish Torah information I can impart. And I feel blessed that my rabbis taught this to me based on the Derech Hashem of Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. And here we go. All right, fasten your seatbelts. I oftentimes ask my students, you know, we rabbis, trick questions. Do you have a soul? I'll open up a lecture, say, do you have a soul? And everyone raises their hands, yes, because that's exactly what they think that the rabbi wants to say. And I get everyone excited, like they got the right answer. And then I look out at them and I shake my head. No, that is not the correct answer. And like, rabbi, what are you talking about? You know, you always talk about being more spiritual and less physical. What are you talking about? I mean, we don't have a soul. And I come back to them. I say, no, we don't have a soul. We are a soul. That's who we are. That's our identity. That is what a human being is. We are a spark of divinity. A chelak elokam mimal, literally a piece of God, a divine spark, as the Kabbalists say. That's who we are. Our identity, when we're talking to someone, connecting to someone emotionally, that's our soul. And we're connecting to someone else's soul. Now, the soul, to live and exist in this world, needs a body. It needs a body. It needs a physical entity to move it through the world, through this world. But what motivates the body is our emotional and spiritual reality. How do we know when to raise our hand in class? How do we know when to turn the steering wheel? How do we know? Because these are decisions that our soul, that our emotional reality is making. And our divine soul is ideally plugged into the Almighty, plugged into Hashem, and that's our essence. Now, as a little sidebar, one of the reasons why we don't fear death in Judaism is because this whole concept of rest in peace is not correct. A certain sense, there's a rest in peace when someone dies, that they don't have the rigors of this world anymore. So there is a resting from the trials and travails of this world, making a living and physical things. However, death in Judaism is literally the separation of the soul from the body. The soul ascends to heaven, and with the same consciousness that you have listening to this podcast or talking to your friends or your family, that is the same consciousness we're going to have. There's no sleeping. When you're dead, you're if anything, we're more awake. That's when real life begins. And it's a crazy concept, and people don't realize that. When death happens, that's when we're fully conscious. Right now, we're dragged down by physicality. But in the spiritual world, we are fully conscious. And so therefore, that reality that we build for ourselves, the spiritual growth that we do in this world, that which connects us to God in this world, that's going to be the currency that's going to connect us to God in the next world. And if we spend an entire life indulging in physicality without connecting to God in this world, what substrate, what glue are we going to have to attach ourselves to God in the next world? And that's why the Torah focuses on mitzvot, because these mitzvot, these commandments, are that which attach us to God. The word mitzvah, tzav, means to connect. Literally, it's a connector. And that's why we do mitzvot in this world, to connect ourselves to God here. And from that substrate, it's expanded upon in the next world. Okay. So, so therefore, our reality in this world is one of an essential identity as a soul. And the kli, the vessel that holds this body, is called the guf, is called the body. The soul is that which is our reality, and it's held inside a body. And so, the question is, and that we need to address, is which is the main one? What type of life do we live? What does it mean to live a spiritual life? So again, based on Derech Hashem, one of my rabbis gave an amazing analogy. The soul in this world is like a jockey. It's like a jockey, you know, a jockey, a horse rider. And if anyone knows anything about horse racing, which I don't know much about, but I do know that a jockey who weighs more than 90-ish pounds is disqualified. And this 90-pound jockey has got to control this 2,000-pound horse. Okay, racehorse. And that is the analogy of the soul controlling the body. The body feels, I'm hungry. I want food right now. I want whatever, money now. I want what I want. The physical drive speaking the eye. And then when you're in a diet, you have this voice of conscience that says, oh, you should really not eat that. Meaning that the soul is where we associate less with that. It's a less of a powerful voice for us. And therefore, our job in this world is that the soul will control the body and the body will not control the soul. That's, by the way, why we have kosher food, certain food we can eat, certain not. That's why we have the family purity laws, certain times for intimacy with a married couple and certain not. We control our greatest physical desires and elevate them through mitzvah performance. That is the jockey's control over this wild horse called the body. And you see clearly that the Western world has given up on this endeavor. You know, I always, my favorite example, this is the Sprite commercial. Now, I don't know if they still have this Sprite commercial, but I remember, not even as a kid, you know, Sprite said, obey your thirst. Obey your thirst. What does that mean if we would think about obey your thirst? It means be an animal. Listen to that horse. Let the racehorse, the physical body be dominant. Obey your thirst. Don't obey your thirst. No, it's Yom Kippur. No, you can't drink this day. Or it's not appropriate to drink when, I don't know, whenever the circumstance is. And so that is our vision. Our vision is living a life where the soul is in control. The intellect is in control over the emotions. That is where the neshama, the soul, is. It resides in our brains. It is that intellectual ability to know when to engage in the physical world and how to do it, and not to be driven just by our passions. And that is really what distinguishes us from the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom, it's flight or flight. It's natural reactions. If they're hungry, they're going to eat. If they want to procreate, they're going to procreate. And our job as human beings is to elevate that spiritual and to have it rule over the physical. And I think, and now I want to say, based on this principle, what exactly is Rabbi Gross's greatness? He had many greatnesses, but his one that just head and above everything else was his ability to see situations clearly and to give advice and guidance that no one else ever saw. My wife and I would go into him often with very difficult situations, vis-a-vis raising children, vis-a-vis other situations, sensitive, what's the best way for our family to proceed on certain things. And we'd say, well, we either have option A, option B. And then he'd sit back and he'd think and he'd ask a few questions. He said, okay, hold on, let's think about this. And he'd speak, walk us through each dimension of the complex situation. And before we were done, we all saw a new option C that just wasn't existing. And he did it every time. And it was amazing to us. How did he do that? Because he was a Jew whose neshama, whose soul ruled over his body. He had a clarity. He had a clarity of vision that was able to that he wasn't affected by physical drives to be able to blind him. He wasn't bribed by his body or his physical drives. He was able to use his neshama, his soul, clearly and pristinely to be able to see through all of our biases and to see the truth and to guide us appropriately. And that came out time and time again in the eulogies and all the words. He had a vision of clarity, and he had a vision of clarity because his soul ruled over his body, and he didn't listen to the Sprite commercial of obeying your thirst. And I'd also like to apply that to our second question of Hanukkah. How in the world could we literally 2 hours after the funeral in the same synagogue to be set up then for services, for davening, and us to have a singing, rejoicing Shabbos? And it was unbelievable. And the whole community came out. We don't record anything on Shabbos, but if I could record something on Shabbos, I would have loved to have recorded this. It was the most beautiful expression, a synagogue without its rabbi. Synagogue without its rabbi. But Rabbi would have said, he would have wanted us. God wants us to sing and dance because it's Shabbos. And so we sung and danced because it was Shabbos, not because it felt like the right thing to do and it was a Hallmark greeting card. I follow my feelings. No, because Hashem said, it's Shabbos. And on Shabbos, there's no mourning. There's no sadness on Shabbos. And therefore, we sung and we danced. We held hands and we honored our rabbi by doing what we knew he would want us to do, which is to sing and to dance in honor of the Shabbos. Now, folks, the hour's late and we're almost boarding. And I still have to send this. Shout out to Rabbi Marcus, who's going to post this for me. Rabbi Marcus of Project 613. There's so much to say. We have a journey ahead of us. How in the world are we going to gear up for this journey to, God willing, impact and to show these Jewish, young Jewish lives the beauty of doing, of being Jewish and of performing mitzvot and living a meaningful Jewish life and being that next chain of Jewish continuity? You know how? Because we're not going to wallow. Because Rabbi Gross loved Project 613. He loved the work that we do. He was a big partner at it. He would speak for us all the time on Shabbos. And he would always welcome our students, our young professionals, to Shari Tzedek so beautifully. And I know that he would say, Shalom, go do your trip. Go make your impact. Rabbi Gross, I know you're watching down at us. We're going to make that impact. In your merit and your honor, because you loved our students and you loved us and we love you. And you are an inspiration of what it means to be Jewish, what it means to be a Torah Jew, what it means to elevate the soul over the body and in the process, elevate both of them. So, these are not tears of sadness. It's just overwhelming of the experience, but I want everyone to leave this podcast inspired to continue the legacy that Rabbi Gross would have wanted from all of us, to be faithful Torah Jews, to be faithful Jews, to get better wherever we are, to step it up one notch. And God willing, Rabbi Gross, we will work to make you proud, because we know that you're proud of our efforts to bring Jews closer to Judaism and to Torah. Okay, everyone, God bless. Have an amazing week. Follow us. We're going to be, I don't know where we're going to be posting, maybe on Facebook or maybe on LinkedIn. If you have Instagram, you can follow us there, project613_. If you're not on Instagram, please do not sign up on Instagram to follow our trip. But hopefully we will be making our next podcast from Morocco. God bless and a happy final day of Hanukkah to everyone.